so that we're clear about angels. All right, we want to discuss this topic of angels. Reason being, of course, you know, there are all kind of TV shows and all kind of other stuff that people talk about and say. But once again, as I mentioned to you earlier, you know, there are lots of people who are saying lots of things and stuff is getting accepted, yet not tested. And that's kind of scary when you're not dealing with it. You know, in some of my research, I was reading about a gentleman. I won't call his name. It's just not that important. It's just kind of typical of what I'm talking about in this hour. And he made the following statement. This is what he said. Now you can go ahead and get ready to start that angel tape. All right, praise the Lord. And this is what he said. The coming move of God is going to be a lot different than I ever thought. And I'm sure it will be different than you thought too. The Lord is going to move in a completely new way, unlike anything we've ever seen before. It is good to look for precedents in Scripture and in church history, but many of the things that God will do in the days ahead are truly unprecedented. Moses didn't have any doctrinal or theological foundation to prepare him for his encounter with this burning bush. God simply put his glory on the bush, so Moses had to deal with it. In the day of God's unprecedented acts, we need to be careful about saying, well, that's not in the Bible. No one has ever experienced the burning bush prior to Exodus 3. Paul had no Bible verse directing him to go and stay in certain house, nor did Ananias have a scripture giving him revelation of the geographic location, street number, or name of the man he was going to see. Ananias had no precedent to follow that would show him what had caused Paul's blindness or what God would do if he would go and lay hands on Paul. Although Moses, Paul, and Ananias may have lacked scriptural precedents for how God was choosing to move in their lives, they had the witness of the power of the Holy Spirit, and they obeyed when God called to them. Just as Jesus stood on the Mount of Transfiguration and his three disciples saw him shine, God is going to have a whole company of people who are going to shine. The world will see the light and all the nations will come. It is going to be the light of a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. It is time for the body of Christ to arise and let her light shine so the world can see it. That's what he wrote. And that's all nice and sounds all scriptural and everything, but the truth of the matter is when you take the Bible, and the Bible has been at this point canonized, and the reason for that was because of all this kind of strangeness that happens with people. All of a sudden, people take the scriptures and make them say anything they want them to say because they're up there. And since they're up there, and now since everybody's moving by the Holy Spirit, then we can say anything we want to say. And, you know, if you don't like it, you can just leave. But for the most part, most people buy in to this type of mysticism because ultimately then it does kind of give us this sense of control over our destiny. That somehow, you know, I can make everything better for myself without having to be concerned about what God thinks about my life because I've got God in me. So I'm going to, you know, take this spirit and go forth. Well, after this guy wrote this, about 10 years, recent February, this was posted on another website regarding him. We were made aware that blank has become an alcoholic. In April, we became aware that he is a practicing homosexual. When confronted with the evidence of these sinful practices, he admitted to them and agreed to a process of restoration which the three of us would oversee. However, because blank has continued to drink and pursue immoral practices, and after having exhausted the first two steps of Matthew 18:15 process, we now have a responsibility to bring this before the church. We also want to apologize to the body of Christ for our part in promoting and elevating blank stature in the church while having these significant strongholds in his life. The signs that these problems existed were abundant, and we had an obvious lack of discernment and failed to see them until this year. We have received a considerable education through this situation, the principles of which we will share in due time with the hope that others will not have to make the same mistakes. Well, here we go again. There's no need to worry about making the same mistakes when it's obvious, you can read this and know that what he was saying back then wasn't scriptural. And more than likely, when you're not basing what you're saying on scripture, sooner or later, if you're not already shipwrecked, you will be. I mean, Paul said that plainly. So what we're trying to do, folks, is keep grounding ourselves in the truth. The one thing that we see about the scripture and our foundations in Orthodox Christian belief, it is not that what? We fear the Spirit of God, or we fear manifestation, or we fear any of that, but we ground ourselves in the Orthodox belief of Christianity and what those beliefs are. Now, what's interesting about it, I think I have it here somewhere. Paul and the rest of the apostles, at some point in time, and not long after the writings of the New Testament were done, some of you may have heard of something called the Apostles' Creed. And basically, it has in it part and parcel what we ought to be as believers, understanding to be the truth about God. I'm going to read it to you right quick. This is what it says. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. That is the creed, the universal creed of the church. So what ought to be able to be said of any Christian church is that any doctrine that takes you away from some of that is suspect. It ought to be suspect to start. It ought to just be suspect. The bottom line is that God is the Father. The Holy Spirit proceeds from him. Jesus is the Lord and the only one. He is the one that's going to come and judge us. Okay? We believe in the resurrection of the dead, and we believe that Jesus suffered bodily in the flesh here for our sin. We believe that. That's what we believe. No, now these doctrines then are those that we must rest everything we do on. And I'm getting so aggravated, not with y'all, but just with people. I'm listening to some stuff that's just ridiculous. It is the most idiotic stuff you hear. And as a believer, we ought to all just get mad when we hear it. The person of Christ is under attack. That's what I say. The person of Christ, our Lord, is under attack. Anything that causes you to focus on something other than the fact that we are sinners saved by the grace of God. The only reason you ever gonna get in, the Bible says in one place, the righteous shall scarcely be saved. Scarcely. And the way I came from, that means by the hair, your chinny chin chin. All right? You know, the bottom line is the righteous, those of us who have been saved, gonna scarcely get in. Because we ain't got a clue of what's really going on. And some of us many times are taken away by things that have nothing to do with God. And but for his grace, we don't slip out there and end up in some kind of sin or wrong doctrine ourselves. You know, so we have to protect ourselves consistently with one understanding. We cannot save ourselves through works, but we're saved by works. I said that today on the online Bible study. When God put the law into the earth, the law was perfect and it showed us how God expects us to be. He put Adam and Eve here. They were perfect. Then Satan tempted them and they sinned. Now, folks, you can never be perfect again. If you're perfect, once you fall, you can't never be perfect again. So that means then that there's nothing that a man can ever do for himself to be perfect, because sin passed on through all the people born after Adam. So then Jesus comes, and the Bible says he's the second Adam. He obeys the law perfectly. He never sins. Forget them movies and all that crap about he was on the cross tempted by Mary Magdalene, or Mary washed his feet and somehow he might have wanted her, or he was married to some woman and had kids. All these are attacks on the person of Christ and his perfection. What men are attempting to do is to take our Jesus, the only one who ever lived perfect and right, and make him like us. And say that, come on, ain't no way no man can live all his life and he ain't want that woman like that. It just ain't no way. I know it. I'm a man and I know what it's like. Well, you die because you're an imperfect, lust-filled man. And filled with that kind of stuff, you right. You can't understand. Some men want other men. You got all kind of stuff going on with us. But Christ, being born of a virgin and not having passed to him man's sin nature, had the perfect nature of God in him. He did not sin because he was God. The Bible teaches us plainly, he was a man. He did not sin because he did not have Adam's blood running through his veins. And as such, he had perfect choice that he could make every time. The Bible says Satan came and tempted him in all points, but unlike us, he didn't sin. And then because of that, he went to the cross, and after having lived a perfect, obedient life, he didn't get on the cross and say, oh, having these dreams and these visions about what life he gave up and what he could have done, all these movies, that blaspheming. None of that was going on. Jesus was not like us like that. Okay? He just didn't think like that. He wasn't on that level. Don't bring him there. Don't demean the Christ. If you do that, you basically forfeit what God has done for us. Because now what we have is a perfect Christ who has lived perfectly, and because he's lived perfectly, the law, that's why Jesus could say it, I didn't come to do away with the law, I came to fulfill it. So see, when he lived out a perfect life according to the law, he fulfilled the law. So that now, just like Adam broke the law, and the Bible says that by his disobedience, there wasn't any law like that, but God told him, don't eat from that tree. And the day you eat from it, you shall surely die. And so he broke God's commandment, and he sinned, and he fell. For the Bible says that just as he, one man, brought sin on all men, so one man, through his obedience, can bring righteousness on all men. Not your righteousness, no different than Adam's sin was your sin. Likewise, the righteousness you now can possess has nothing to do with you. It has to do with a perfect Christ who lived a perfect life, who shed perfect blood as a sacrifice and substitute for you. Now what happens is I cannot let you attack that Christ. See, if you attack that Christ and demean him in any way, if you make him a sinner, if you do anything with him, all of a sudden what happens is he is brought down a level. Now, he can't be a perfect sacrifice. There's no way he could have fulfilled the law if he were a sinner. It means he was not perfect. And God required a perfect sacrifice without blemish and without spot. And as long as he had that, God would accept the sacrifice. Well, the Bible tells us that Jesus, in Hebrews, went into the heavenly temple, not with bull and blood of bulls and goats, but his own blood that he shed. Remember when Mary showed up and he said, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended unto my Father. Now he had to go up there and present something to God. And when he did that, he came back, and now he is the risen Christ. There is no comparison to him. There is nobody who can say that somehow you're going to be like him, that you like him, going to be anything else. I don't want to hear it. I don't like that kind of talk. What it does is demeans him and brings him to a level that he's not on. We serve a God, the Bible says, that's higher than all the heavens. We have absolutely no comprehension of who Christ is and what he's done. So we have to stay in that realm of understanding who he is. And it's because he is our God that we prosper. See, folks, I mean, I'm not going to deal out all these formulas to you and a lot of other stuff. I don't have to do all that. The bottom line is that it's no different than if you were my child. You have a right to certain things, and I'm going to do that for you because you're my child. It's not because you did something or you did this right or you did that right. It's because as my child, I'm going to try to bring you into something and take care of you. Same thing with you and God. You can spend more of your time praying about your problems in your life than praying about the money you need. And when I mean your problems in your life, I'm talking about the way you live. Spend more time praying about the way you live. I mean, how you treat your neighbor, how you treat your people you deal with. You, your moral person. Pray more about that, and you'll see a whole lot more stuff happening in your life than praying about the money you don't have. You know, or this or that, or God, please show me, give me some direction, give me this. And the most direction you're going to get is what the scripture consistently teaches us, and that is Christ. Now, why am I saying that? Because now we're going to start 103, and we need to look at this. 103 is angels. Say, some people done got themselves all caught up. You watch that show, Touched by an Angel, and it's touched by a lie. And some people like it because it's so sweet and nice, but it's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. That's not the way it happens. Angels don't go around touching nobody. Angels don't go around communicating with nobody. Angels don't go around healing nobody. That ain't what angels do. It's a lie. I don't care how nice they look, how cute they are, and how many old black ladies they let be the angel. It ain't true. It It's just not true. I'm sorry. Now, I don't know who told you it was, but it ain't true. Let's look at what the Bible says, all right? And we're going to deal with that with the Bible. Now, if you see here, angels, this is what it says. A, we believe that God created an innumerable company of sinless spiritual beings known as angels. That one, Lucifer, that old filthy devil, son of the morning, the highest in rank, sinned through pride, thereby becoming Satan. And that a great company of the angels followed him in this mortal fall, or moral fall, some of whom became demons and are active as agents and associates in the prosecution of his unholy purposes, while others who fell are reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Then I cite scriptures here. I can't go to all them scriptures tonight. I want you to, though, in your prepared time, if you got any, go look them up if you don't believe what I'm telling you. Now, I'm just want to lay it out here for you so we can talk about it, because I just cannot go to every one of these. You got to understand something about angels. They are real. We're not denying that angels aren't real. They're real. The Bible, though, teaches that angels are created beings. God created them. He created an innumerable host. We don't even know how many. The Bible doesn't tell us. But the Bible does tell us that one, his major created angel, was named Lucifer. And the Bible tells us that Lucifer was the light-bearing angel, and that he bore light in such a way, and that the Bible talks about how he was covered with all kind of diamonds and all kind of gold and everything that he had, all kind of jewels on him. And the Bible says that one day, Lucifer said within himself, I shall be like the Most High. That, my friends, was wrong. When he sinned by saying, I will be like the Most High, the Bible says God immediately cast him down. Now, at that point, he led a rebellion of angels. Some angels actually bought that lie. In other words, even though they could see God now, they still bought Lucifer's lie. I mean, now, he's subtle now. You got to realize this. That's why I'm saying, as humans, we have no protection from Lucifer other than the truth of the Spirit of God and the Word. That's what I'm saying. The Word protects us. It's the Word that protects us so that we're supposed to know him when we see him coming. Eve had no clue. She was talking to Satan. What did he say? Well, look, come on now. I know God said you shouldn't eat it, but the reason God doesn't want you to eat it is because he knows something. That the day you eat it, your eyes will be open and you shall be like God. Same old lie. Same old lie. And he brings it to all of us in various ways. That's why people don't want to obey different people, like children obey your parents. Why? Because Satan comes and through your friends or whoever else tells you, well, the reason your whoever, mama, your daddy don't want this is because they know, and fill in the blank with some lie. You know, they just don't want you to have, fill in the blank with some lie. And when you believe the lie instead of the truth of God, where God says, children, obey your parents, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, mother and father is the first commandment we promise. Instead of just believing the word by faith, I accept the lie. And when I accept the lie, Satan takes me out there and kills off something that's going on in my life. All of a sudden, I find myself death in some situation going on in my life. Now, I've got to guard myself then against this angelic host. That's what the Bible says, that when they led this rebellion against God, the Bible tells us that God cast them all out. Some of them then lost their first estate, no longer were referred to as, quote unquote, angels of light, but got referred to as demons. They are now referred to as demons, okay? Now, a certain number of angels didn't make it into that category because these, for whatever reason, and see, the scripture don't get into all this. I can postulate, but that's what I'm telling you about. Be careful of my postulations. I try to tell you when I'm postulating. I can give you my postulation, but we're going to hold that for a moment. Some of these angels were chained up, and the Bible tells us they were chained in hell in darkness. They are literally in spiritual chains. They cannot come loose. Now, my postulation is, the earth would be a total wreck if they were loosed. That's all I can imagine. Obviously, for whatever reason, God chose to chain them up. That's what those scriptures teach. All you got to do is go look at them, and it says it. Some are held in everlasting chains until the day of judgment. when God is going to judge them and cast them into the lake of fire forever, and they threw. But some of them are chained up. Now, that's what we know then about this battle we have going on, that they're out there. Because just like there are those touched by an angel, that some people like to think, well, then some getting touched by a devil. That's what's going on, these hosts. Now, they don't come looking like devils, or what we might think. Look at B. We believe that Satan is the originator of sin, and that under the permission of God, he through subtlety led our first parents into transgression, thereby accomplishing their moral fall and subjecting them and their posterity to his own power. That he is the enemy of God and the people of God, opposing and exalting himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. And that he, who in the beginning said, I will be like the Most High, in his warfare appears as an angel of light, even counterfeiting the works of God by fostering religious movements and systems of doctrine, which systems in every case are characterized by a denial of the efficacy of the blood of Christ and salvation of grace by grace alone. And you can look at those scriptures. What does this mean? In other words, Satan, we believe that God, the scripture seems to tell us, that God allowed Satan to tempt Adam and Eve. He let him. God knew Satan was going to the garden. God has never caught off guard. He let him go. Because God, see, some are perpetrating today that Adam and Eve were little gods. It's just not true. Adam and Eve were God's creation. They were made in the image of God in the sense that they were spirit. They had spirit breathe into them. So they weren't like animals. That's why you feel different. Even murderers, you had to really get taken over by the devil before you could kill somebody and not be conscious of the fact that you've done something wrong. You know, if you're driving down the street and you run over a person, you tend to be a whole lot more concerned than if you just ran over a dog. No, a dog run down the street, you ran over him, you might feel sorry, it might bother you, but you're going to go home and be okay. Even the law recognizes there's something different about running over a person and keep going. Now, with that then being the case, then we understand that we're made in God's image in that sense. But then Satan tempted them. They sinned. Now, Satan is always, that's his job now, he's always attempting to exalt himself over God. He can't do it in heaven because God already threw him out of there and ran him off. So what he did was he came down and dealt with God's creation and got them to say, oh, okay, we'll be like God too. So he tricked them, and then they fell. Now they don't have paradise anymore. And now he usurps authority over them. So now Satan usurps authority over the earth, brings his disease, hatred, malice, all that stuff into the earth realm. And that's what is here all the time. And he's always manifesting this stuff, right? But he appears many times, the Bible says, as an angel of light. Paul said, be careful. He comes as false apostles, angels of light. That's why I tell you to challenge. If you want to challenge something that I'm suggesting, I put the scriptures there so you can read, you see what it says. Go look them up for yourself. Don't just say, well, I don't believe that because I don't like you. You know, I don't care if you like me or not. It doesn't really matter. What's important is whether or not your conception of God is correct. If it's not, you're going to go to hell. And I'm sorry about that. And people keep saying, you ought not be telling people they're going to go to hell. Well, what you want me to tell them? They ain't going to go and you know, they what? You're going to go if you're not right. And we're all going to go, folks. So we got to have this stuff right. Satan is consistently bringing doctrines. The Bible calls them doctrines of demons. All right. So if we know he brings doctrines of demons, then we need to know when we're dealing with a demon doctrine. We can't just be walking around assuming just because they got a steeple outside. You know, hopefully y'all know before this building was a church, it was something else in here. It was a church before that, then it turned to something else, and then we made a church again. Just because it's got a steeple on top don't mean God in here. Doesn't mean the doctrine is God. So you got to know when is the doctrine not God. And so the scriptures tell us that you're supposed to be able to figure it out by listening closely and asking yourself the question, if I put Jesus to the test of your doctrine, what does it say about him? Does it say when it's over that Jesus is the only Son of God, begotten of God, Jesus and him alone, that his blood and only his blood can wash away and blot out my sins, that Jesus and Jesus alone is God, that Jesus and Jesus alone is responsible for my life, that Jesus and Jesus alone is the one who's in charge of the universe, that Jesus and Jesus alone has accomplished everything at Calvary for me. If your doctrine in any way doesn't teach that, then I need to be careful that some of it is inspired by Satan or just your own mind, which still is just no different than Satan inspired. That's what I got to look at. That's the sieve I got to put it through. That's the test it's got to go through. Whether or not, where is Jesus, his virgin birth, where is all of that in this? Where is his authority in the church? Where is it in your doctrine? Other than that, and we understand then that it's angels that propagate these gospels. Now watch this. I will have you go to a scripture now. Go to Colossians chapter 2:18. Verse 18, chapter 2, verse 18. Let's flip to Colossians. Here, Paul admonishes people because in these days, you're always talking to people or read some book with somebody talking about, I saw an angel and this is what they told me and all of that. And some will say, well, Pastor Galee, if they saw an angel, what you saw? I ain't see nothing. But what that got to do with anything? Well, you know, well, they saw. Oh, I don't care what you saw. What does that have to do with anything? If God places the word as the standard, then I got to judge what you saw based on the standard or what you heard. Okay? And we got to do that because this becomes our only test. It's the only thing that we can test. Okay? Now, here it tells us, especially in Colossians 2:18, look at the verse there. Let no man beguile you. You know what that means? Trick you. Of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Now, my goodness, how much more clearer does God have to get? You know, if I come in here and start trying to tell y'all something and get y'all to believe it because an angel told me. I mean, I'm telling y'all, I was in here praying, and an angel showed up right there. Matter of fact, I got him on the video. And I can show y'all a picture of him. He manifested himself so y'all can see him on the video. And he said, Pastor, I come to tell you, Jesus wants you to know he ain't coming back like you think. Y'all got to take over the world for Christ before he come back. I said, you need to get up out of here. That's what I would say. Some people would buy exactly what that angel's saying because it's a supernatural manifestation. And some people are so caught up, they want to experience something. They don't want to live by faith. Nobody wants to live by faith. Everybody got to experience something. Now, ain't nothing wrong with some experience. There's nothing wrong with the fact that you ought to have a little experience. But the bottom line is, you're supposed to be doing like the word says. There were people, the Bible says, died in faith, never received a promise, but they kept believing God. They did not give up on what they knew was the truth. The Bible says even some of them were tortured. They trying to get them to give it up. They ain't giving it. I don't care if you pull my arms out of the socket. I ain't about to give up on what I know is true. I'm not going to do it. They wouldn't do it. And the Bible says that they are the ones who inherit based on that faith that they had. Sometime God, he delivered them, the Bible says, from the mouth of lions and the sword and fire. But then there were others, the Bible says, who were tortured, killed, lived in caves and wandered all over the earth. The Bible says we're not even worthy of them. But they believe God. That's what we're talking about right now. So an angel coming, we don't need to get off into what these angels are saying to us or not to us. Look at Hebrews. Just flip over a couple more books. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. So remember, we were talking about like touched by an angel. Forget them angels. Because you'll spend more time talking to them angels, trying to figure out what's going on. Please tell me what God's saying. And, you know, they're going to tell you what you got to do to fix your life. If you watch the story, that's kind of the way it goes. They come to kind of help you get yourself together, you know. All right, it's just like that deal with Whitney Houston on it. What that was? The preacher wife? Didn't Denzel pay an angel? Yeah, you know, before you know it, he wanted the preacher wife. Yeah, lusting angel. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you don't know what you got going on here. But the bottom line is that the Bible doesn't teach that. It's now, look at Hebrews chapter 1. This is what it says. Verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in the time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his angels. Don't say that. It says by his son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the world. Bottom line is, God says in the last, in the old days, he used to speak by the prophets. Here they come. Here come Elisha. Here come this one. Here come Joel. Here come this one. Here come these prophets. Here come John the Baptist. Everybody telling you to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You're going to die and go to hell. This going to happen. That's going to happen. Prophets are always telling people what's going to happen. The Bible says in these last days, God hath spoken to us by his son. And Jesus came and plainly declared, Satan has been condemned. The judge of this world has been cast out. And I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. And if you don't come by me, anybody else is a thief and a robber. So he spoke. Now, he done said what he got to say. God has declared in these last days he spoke to us by his son. I don't care what no angel got to say. Now, let me show you a little bit more. That's right. I don't care. I wouldn't care if he came with an angel on his forehead saying he's driving a chariot from heaven. Let's go to Galatians. Go to Galatians and let's look at this. Go to Galatians. I mean, we got to stand firm on that stuff, man. Because I'm telling you, if you don't, you just slip right on in there. They got books out there, people reading, man, talking about the angels gave him all kind of information about what's finna happen. I said, yeah, all right. Galatians. Let's look at Galatians 1, and let's look at verse 7. Paul himself says the same thing here, Galatians 1, 7. And let's look at verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be cursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any gospel unto you than that which you've received, let him be cursed. Now, if you can't get it from there, you just ain't trying to get it. So angels, it obviously were not intended to preach the gospel. Angels are not intended to come bring us some special message right now. People say, well, but Pastor, when they were in the temple, isn't it true that the angel showed up and told Mary, yeah, and when did your name get to be Mary the Virgin? Yeah, I mean, you know, folks, let's put this in context now. If you go look at the different people that the angel showed up to, I don't even understand how you could think you're going to put yourself on that level. All right, you know, here the angel showed up to Paul to tell him to go to Macedonia. Well, since when did you start writing Bibles? I mean, you know, God specifically showed up to Paul and called him, and as an apostle, had to direct him at times so angels would appear to him. But Paul never, ever, ever talks about getting any revelation about doctrine and Christ from an angel. An angel may have told him, go to Macedonia. The Bible says, you know, he might have seen a man in the spirit, in a vision, go to Macedonia. Or some angel that stood by and told him, Paul, you'll be all right. You're not going to die. You know, but Paul was on a whole nother level in mission. He had a mission that had to be accomplished. Now, I know you might say, yeah, but what? I'm not any different from Paul. See, now there you go. There you go. See, there you go. That's that first little inkling of what the enemy told them in the garden. You shall be like God. Well, first you're going to be like Paul. See, you got to start off like Paul, you know, first. But the Bible tells us plainly, Paul said, the signs of my apostleship have been wrought. I proved my apostleship. He said, matter of fact, I worked miracles amongst you. He said, I did stuff that apostles do, okay? Peter walked by somebody and his shadow, they rose from the dead. I mean, they were lame and rose up. I don't have no problem with you jumping up telling me you like Paul. Then, hey, let's raise some dead folks. Let's stop it. Let's go to the hospital and clear it out. Let's see you move, apostle. That's what I'm talking about now. I need to see some proof. There comes a point, a time for proof. Stop talking about it and do it. Paul did what he had to do. He said, my apostleship is proven by the works I have manifest amongst you. So if you're going to put yourself, you're looking for angels, then, you know, you better look for some of them beatings Paul got too. Because he did get some, okay? I mean, he got beat. Paul got stoned. Paul got shipwrecked. And I don't have a problem with that if you're willing to take all that along with it. I don't have a problem. But don't tell me angels are showing up. Angels showed up to Peter. Peter was in prison and about to get killed. Angel showed up and said, I'm going to take the chain, get up, go outside, preach the gospel. Okay. I'm not suggesting that if you find yourself in that situation, but you're just at home chilling and most of the time watching BET. And then talking about an angel showed up. Pastor, I just went to sleep watching BET. And I woke up and there was an angel in my room. Wasn't even praying, wasn't fasting, wasn't seeking God, you know, doing something you ain't probably don't need to be doing anyway, but the angel showed up to tell you something. Why? Now, don't get it. All I'm telling you is be careful that that angel is not a manifestation of darkness. Now, let's look then at C. This is what we believe about C. We believe that Satan was judged at the cross. Jesus said his judgment has come. It has not been executed yet. And that he is a usurper. He now rules as the God of this world, that at the second coming of Christ, Satan will be bound and cast into the abyss for 1,000 years. And after the 1,000 years, he will be loosed for a little season and then cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where he shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, the Bible tells us plainly that Satan is, and Paul called him this, the God of this world. Little g. He said he's the little God, the little g, God of this world. And then he says, be careful, because this is why it's hard to convince people to get saved. Now, let me see if I can find that scripture right quick. Here we go. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, just back up right there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and let's look at verse 1 there. We're going to read down a few verses. It says here, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. In other words, he's saying that Satan, as the God of this world, the reason it's hard to get people to accept Christ is because Satan has blinded their minds. He is the God of this world. He controls the mechanisms. He controls all kinds of things, the arms of government. He controls all manner of things. And whatever it takes to get your mind off of Christ, he'll put it in your path. You know, if you need a certain amount of success in your life to stop thinking about God and what he wants for your life, he'll put it right there in your path. Whatever he's got to manipulate to get your mind off of Christ and his salvation for you, he'll do it. So many believe they got time. That's the biggest lie you ever been told. Well, I'll deal with it later. I'm young. Yeah? Well, keep looking at the news and see how many young people think they had time and then they don't. Young people having heart attacks, you know what I mean? People 30 and 18 and 17 having a heart attack. Go to bed and just don't wake up. Folks, you don't have time to decide what you want to do about God. Don't let Satan lie to you. You know, that's what it said in the book of Ecclesiastes. Youth is vain. Don't think it lasts because you don't have any control over your life like that. So you got to make a decision when the gospel is presented to you. You got to decide. And in that instant, you have to say, am I going to believe the lie of everything I see? Or am I going to believe what I see obviously around me every day? I mean, look at the young lady who went to Aruba. Every day there are examples. Look at the three little boys that got locked in the trunk of the car and suffocated. Look at the little boy that got lost the day before but got found. See, he wandered for 4 days and nobody can figure out yet why he didn't get eaten by an animal. Out there in the wilderness, 4 days, he did everything wrong. He went uphill instead of downhill. Every time he saw somebody who could have rescued him, he hid. And then you got some little boy who is a Boy Scout that's out rolling logs. He falls in the river. They don't find nothing but 2 tennis shoes. Another day, you got 3 little boys out playing. They get locked in a trunk. Nobody can figure it out yet. The police are walking all around the car where they are. They die. What is going on? Young lady, 18, boy, got a great future. All this goes to Aruba, can't find her. Ain't got a trace, a shoestring. Don't know where she at, and we still, all the news media caught up in it. What happened? All of these people, you could have thought they got time. Here this little boy that 4 days in the wilderness, they're expecting something to get him. He comes out miraculously. All of a sudden, he's just standing there in the trail, and somebody sees him. No, it ain't just happened. I was reading in the paper on the internet the other day, a young girl in Africa got kidnapped by these people. They were beating the girl up, and lions come out of the forest and run the guys off. and stay with her until somebody found her. And instead of eating her, they just stayed around her and then left. Now, don't tell me God. Folks, God is manifesting himself consistently so people can understand something. You don't know what's going to happen to you. And you don't know when it's going to happen. And you're not deciding it in your prayer life. Pray, keep me from temptation, deliver me from evil. But the truth of the matter is, the devil is alive and real out here. And you need to know that. And when you have an opportunity to accept the gospel and know that God is real and can provide protection in your life and he wants your life, you give it to him then. You don't let Satan blind your mind. You know, these little kids were too young to die, especially in a car, in a trunk. It's just not fair. But they did. Little girl got ran over trying to get a turtle out of the street. I don't know if you heard about that. She wanted to save the little turtle. She was going down the street. Her mom says, oh, okay, we'll pull over. She pulls over. The girl jumps out of the car, and her mom's screaming. She runs out in the traffic and gets run over. Little girl trying to save, just trying to save a turtle. Dead. Folks, Satan will blind our minds, and we can't let him do it. But he's called the god of this world. And as an angel, a very powerful one, we need to recognize that we need to always guard ourselves with what the Bible says. And that's this right here. I'm never going to let no spirit talk me into believing in anything different than this. You're not going to tell me I got more time to think about something. You're not going to tell me that wealth is more important than God. You're not going to tell me to trade off worshiping God for worshiping idols. You're never going to tell me to chase one thing over God, because God had already told me what happens when I do that. And I'm not going to allow myself to believe that in any way, form, or fashion, I can do something opposite of it and get blessed. That's all lies of the devil. All right. Now, we see then that since he's an usurper, it means that what? He's trying to take God's place in everybody's life. He always wants to take God's place. So he exalts whatever works for people. Some people, it's all about themselves. It's all about partying. It's all about whatever. There's something that he exalts in people's lives to usurp authority over Christ, okay, and put him on the side in the throne of your life. Now, under D, we believe that a great company of angels kept their holy estate and are before the throne of God, from whence they are sent forth as ministering spirits to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Now, let's be clear. The Bible then here teaches that there are a bunch of angels that did not go with Satan. But God uses them to minister to us who will be the heirs of salvation. Now, nowhere in the New Testament does the Bible again begin to discuss that we as believers should either be looking for or expecting or praying about an angel coming to minister to us. Christ, the Lord Jesus, controls the angelic force. He is responsible for when they go and where they go and how they go. It's his responsibility. Now, he the one supposed to do this. You don't do it. You don't pray and go, angels, go out and do this. All you're doing is once again trying to be like him. See, you got to see that spirit when it's coming. So I'm going to get down. Now, I'm about to get down, me, okay? And somebody done convinced me because I'm saved. Now, I guess I can get on my knees, pray, and tell angels what to do. Who are you? Well, you confused. You are a human being. Do not be trying to control supernatural things. That's what witches do. They get on in and the spirit shell. That's why you're seeing all that stuff coming out, Harry Potter and all that, to get all your children interested in the occult. Sitting in the room watching these little things on TV doing all kind of magic and formulas, and the next thing you know, your kid's in the room reading some formula, trying to call some spirit into being. Little witches, little warlocks practicing, and what we do is make it cute. Oh, it's so cute. Okay. Delving into the occult without a clue. I mean, there was a time, and I don't know if they sell them anymore, they used to sell Ouija boards off the shelf like Monopoly. And people would buy them and be playing with them. Oh, spirit, tell us. And then that thing get to moving around. Sometimes people who, you know, want to play with your head that was playing the game might start moving it. But everybody knew, put your fingers lightly. And they would stay. And people would say, it would move. Well, yeah, I believe that. spirits, manifestations of things. But we're told to stay away from that stuff. That ultimately we find then that angels are in the unseen realm. Now, the Bible says that some angels have manifested themselves and we treated them bad, and that's how God is judging us. They didn't manifest because they needed nothing. They manifest. The Bible says, be careful how you entertain strangers, because some of you have entertained angels unawares. In other words, some of them people that done walked up to you and said, brother, can you spare a dime? Might have been an angel. And you was like, man, get out of here, man. Get a job. And God's like, oh, okay. Uh-huh. I got something for you. Yeah. And the next thing you know, you catching all kind of hell, and you don't know why. Because you just dissed the angel. Now, he wasn't to do anything other than to give you an opportunity to do something, all right, so that God could move in your life or show you how you are in your life. But the Bible tells us that that's something we ought to do. He says, be careful how you entertain strangers, because some of us have entertained angels unawares. So there is no awareness that you're dealing with the angel. That's what Paul says. If it happens at all, there's no awareness. See, God doesn't have to add to his word by somehow making you believe. And that's when you know you're dealing with the devil. Because the way the devil proves himself most of the time is he got to add enough supernatural to it. You know, he got to come smoking. Listen to me. This is the word of the Lord. And now you go, ooh. Whereas God has spoken already in the word about what's true. Okay, this is the way I see stuff. This is the way it is. Jesus already told us how to handle situations, how to handle people, how to handle ourselves. He's spoken. Angels then merely come as ministering spirits. But when they come at God's command. All right? They come at God's command, not our command. All right? So we don't command angels, at least not in this church. So if people won't do that, they got to go find an angel commanding church. But we don't do that here. We talk to the Lord. We talk to the Lord. We pray, Lord, we appreciate you, Jesus. And Jesus alone, we love you, Lord. Help us. Help us however it is necessary, Lord. Carry out your work in the earth. Now, if he chooses, because we, the Bible doesn't even explain to us, and no one has ever given me a proper explanation yet, of when is an angel working and when is the Holy Spirit working. Nobody's ever explained the distinction or can explain the distinction to me, and I've never heard a positive explanation yet. If you see something happen, how do you know if it was the Holy Spirit or angel? How do you, man, forget all that. It's not in the scripture. God doesn't talk about that. So I'm not trying to get into that, invading into things unseen, puffed up by my fleshly mind. I've had people try to tell you when you know the angel is working and the Holy Spirit is working. In the Bible, it says in one place, an angel killed 186,000 men. Well, the Bible also says in the book of Acts, when they lied, the Holy Ghost struck them dead. They just fell dead. Ananias and Sapphira. Bam, the Spirit of God, they fell dead. No angel was recorded as to have done that. But then in another place, the Bible tells us King Herod stood up and gave a speech. And when the people said, oh, it's the voice of a God, the Bible says he didn't give God glory. And the angel of the Lord smote him. And he died right there on the spot. So it appears that the Holy Spirit seems to move around in folk dying, and the angels seem to be involved in folks dying. And you know what? I just don't want to be one of them that die. So what I'm going to do is find out what happened. In other words, when I'm giving a speech and somebody says, Pastor, you sound like a God. I'm going to say, oh, no. I know I never will, but my point. They go, no, don't tell me that because I ain't trying to die. That's the road to death, okay? Or lying to people because you're trying to look good. That's another road to death, it appears, okay? These people came in, everybody was selling everything they had and bringing the money and laying it at the apostles' feet. And so the Bible says Ananias and Sapphira made the same decision. We're going to sell everything and bring it to the apostles' feet, but they kept some. Now, God ain't kill them because they kept some. God killed them because they brought some and lied and said they brought all of it. And he says, why has Satan filled your heart to lie? Because they was trying to look good in front of folks. Instead of just saying, I'm not giving the church all my money. Y'all, you know, the rest of y'all can do it if you want to, but I ain't doing that. I'm keeping mine, getting my money. Because that's what Peter said. While it was yours, while it was in your possession, was it not yours? So why hath Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? And the Bible says he fell dead. Then a couple minutes later, his wife come. Peter asked the same question. You have all the money? Yeah.
said, why have you conspired with your husband to lie to the Holy Ghost? Here, the feet of them that done carried your husband out is coming in right now. Bam, she died. They took him up, left him out of church. Angels, folks, I don't know who was involved in that slaying, but we don't want to get deep into it. We just know we don't want to be lying to the Holy Ghost. That's the only lesson I got for that. All right, now, under E, we believe that man was made lower than angels and that in his incarnation, Christ took for a little time this lower place that he might lift the believer to his own sphere above the angels. Go to Hebrews 2. Now, Paul does teach us that one day he says, don't you know we shall judge angels? But not now. He says there is a day coming that we shall judge angels. But not now. That's not happening right now. So in Hebrews 2, let's look at that right quick, and we're going to nail this final scripture on angels. Hebrews 2, and let's look at 6 and show that this is the case. The Bible says here, well, let's use verse 5 to start. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. So the Bible then tells us that God, remember now, Jesus is not created. See, so when people keep trying to put themselves on Jesus' level, it's just wrong. Jesus was never created. We talked about this in the Godhead in the last lesson. Jesus was begotten. He is the only begotten Son of God. He is God in every sense, okay? He was with the Father in the beginning. The Bible says in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh. God intended initially to put man over the works of his hands. That's why he told Adam, take dominion, be fruitful, multiply. You and Eve, handle the earth. That's what God gave them dominion. Satan then came in and messed that up for him. But God, in order to restore man so that ultimately man can come to that place God wants him to have eventually with him, had to come in the same form that Adam was in. So then the Bible tells us for a moment, Jesus was made a little lower than the angels. But the Bible teaches us plainly, and we say made, not made like God made him. He was begotten and he came in at a stage lower than angels. In other words, Jesus could not. Now you got to accept this. He was man and he was God fully. Now some people don't understand all that. Don't worry about it. He was. Go to read the scripture, you'll see it. He was fully God, fully man. But he was lower than an angel. The Bible teaches us plainly, angels don't sleep. And Jesus, the Bible said, come on, y'all, when he was on the boat in the back, he was sleeping. The Bible says Jesus was tired, and he laid down and went to sleep. So he was in the back of the boat sleeping, and the storms and the waves were coming, and they said, Master, carest not that we perish, wake up. Jesus sleeping so hard. Bible, one place, Jesus said, y'all need to come side and rest a little while. Y'all got people going and coming all day, ministering to people all day. You're going to pass out. You are in a fleshly body. You can't live like that, ministering all day. You're going to get burnt out. Jesus walked, and the Bible says that he would sit down. The Bible said Jesus asked the woman, give me a drink. Not like that. Give me a drink, though. Jesus wanted to drink out the well. Give me a drink, Jesus said. Well, Jesus drank. Nowhere in the Bible does it talk about angels getting thirsty, needing to eat, or any of that stuff. The Bible talks in one place about angels' food. We don't understand clearly what that's about, but clearly we see that angels, from when you read it, do not operate the way men do. They don't sleep. They don't do that kind of stuff. Jesus told us they don't get married. They don't procreate. Right? There's no such thing as a baby angel. It's all them little fat little angels y'all got. Cast that off somewhere. I don't know who gave you that. There's no baby angel. Babies don't die and go to be angels. God don't need angels that he taking people children. That's not happening. That's a lie. They were created. And so he was created a little bit lower than the angels. But the reason he had to be was so he could suffer death. Angels don't die. But man, Jesus had to take on the sin of man. He had to die. So he had to take on this form that was a little lower than angels. But the Bible tells us when he was on the cross, we realize that he's still God because he said plainly, if I wanted to, before he went to the cross, I could call 12 legions of angels and they'd come help me right now. He could command angels and they would show up, 12 legions. And that's why I tell people, the moment you keep talking about, well, we like Christ, hey, call up some angels then. That's what you know, I'm just about proof. Like them people say up there, show me from the show me state. Just show me, that's all. Just call up some of them. But the truth of the matter is, Christ and him alone is the one that then has this ability and was made a little lower than angels. So we recognize that he was God, yet he was made a little lower than angels. So now in this foundational lesson, hopefully you have come to understand something. When it comes to angels, now we've talked now about Scripture and how it's inerrant and we follow the Bible to the T. We talked about the Godhead, who God is, the Father, who Jesus is, the Son, who the Holy Spirit is. And now we've dealt with the angels, who the angels are, who Satan is, and how this process works. So now that we've dealt with all of this stuff in that respect, we're going to start moving next into some other doctrinal things that we're going to start talking about and how you're supposed to be able to respond to some of this stuff and bring it into your life so that ultimately that, and because I believe this and I tell people this and I'm going to let it go. I tell people consistently that I have never, ever, ever, since I have been in ministry even, that I can ever remember, maybe I have and I don't remember, ever prayed to God, whether personally or in ministry or in any other way, about my money. Or about your money. But definitely never about money. Ever, ever, ever have I ever approached God about money. Never. Never. And it's because I've always taken this position that when you look at the Scripture, God says right here, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and my righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Wow, that sounds like the secret formula. So all I need to do is know what does it mean to seek him first and his righteousness, and if I do that, all the rest of that stuff, God said, he'll handle that. So I don't even, that's not even in my prayers. Now, if when people then spend a lot of time having to focus on that kind of stuff, I then have to come back and try to understand what is it that is causing that problem of lack in my life. See, we don't teach from a position of somehow you can seize your wealth by something it is you're going to be doing or saying necessarily. We got to get back to what is our lifestyle before God, because that's what the Scriptures teach. What am I seeking in my life? What am I placing on the throne of my heart? Who is it that means the most to me? And does Christ and Christ alone take precedent in my life? In other words, if God speaks to you today and you're reading the Scripture and somehow you feel the need to go and do something that's going to cost you everything you got, would you do that? Or would you be like the rich young ruler and say something like, I don't know if that's God, and put your head down and walk away? Because you're so tied to your stuff that you really don't realize that eventually your stuff will pass away. So we're going to start talking next time about some more foundational stuff, but we're going to close tonight with that, and we'll have all these on separate tapes. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you again for the opportunity to come into your house. We thank you for your word, and I ask that you would bless these people. Keep them, Father God, from the God of this world. Keep their eyes open that they might not be blinded, that they might walk in truth and in the love of the Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you all. Y'all have a good evening.